Today we have the privilege of studying Divrei HaYamim Bet Perek Kaf Hei, the 25th chapter of Second Chronicles. This chapter narrates the reign of Amatziahu. Amatziahu was the king of Yehuda, who reigned immediately after Yoash, the famous king we've studied about already, Yoash, who began to reign at the age of 8 and had a basically positive reign until the episode of Zechariah. And Amatziahu is immediately before Uzziahu, a king who also gets a very positive evaluation in Divrei HaYamim. Amatziah himself, however, has an evaluation in Divrei HaYamim that is equivocal and equally good and equally bad. More than any other king, Amatziah's reign illustrates the principle of immediate reward and punishment in Divrei HaYamim. Divrei HaYamim emphasizes that a king is rewarded or punished in accordance with his actions, and Amatziah is both rewarded and punished immediately after his positive actions, reward immediately after negative actions, punishment. The introduction to Amatziahu states in Psukim Aleph Bet, Ben 25 shana malach Amatziahu, ve'esrim vatesha shana malach Birushalayim, v'shem imo Yehoadan Birushalayim, Pasuk Bet, Vayas Hayashar Beinei Hashem, Raklov Belevav Shalem. 25 years old was Amatziahu when he began to reign. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Yehoadan from Jerusalem. He did that which was correct in the eyes of God, however, not with a full heart. And that Pasuk Bet, he did that which was correct in the eyes of God, but not with a full heart, illustrates the equivocal nature of his evaluation here. His first recorded action is extremely positive. Psukim Gimel Dalet. Vayhi kasher chazka hamamlacha alav, vayarog et avadav hamakim et hamelech aviv. Vet bneihem lo hamit. It was when the kingship became strong in his hands, he killed his servants who had killed his father, the king. However, he did not kill their sons. The important point here is that he waited until the kingship was strong in his hands. He did not confront the revolt immediately. When the kingship became strong in his hands, then he confronted those who had killed his father and killed them. However, he did not kill their sons. Pasuk Dalet continues, Ki chakatuv b'Torah u'v'sefer Moshe asher tziva Hashem lemor, Lo yamutu avot al banim, uvanim lo yamutu al avot, ki ish bechet'o yamutu. As it is written in the Torah, in the book of Moses, that which God commanded, saying, fathers shall not die for their sons, and sons shall not die for their fathers, each man shall die for his own son. That statement is clearly a reference to that which is written in Dvarim Perek Kaf Dalet, Pasuk Tetzayin, where we're told exactly the same law, that a father should not die for the sin of a son should not die for the sin of a father, each person should die for their own sin. Human beings are not entitled to punish sons or fathers for their father or son's sin. God is, but human beings are not. Immediately after this positive action on the part of Amatziahu, he begins to gather an army. Pasuk Hei details his gathering of an army from Yehuda. And then in Pasuk Vav, an additional army is gathered from Yisrael. And that additional army gathered from the northern kingdom Yisrael forms an important part of this narrative. Pasuk Vav, Vayizkor Yisrael mea elef gibor chayel b'mea chikar kasef. He hired from Israel 100,000 men of war in return for 100 talents of silver. Probably the talents of silver were paid to the king of Israel in return for the use of mercenaries. A very, very large number of mercenaries. However, the generally negative attitude of Divrei HaYamim towards the kingdom of Israel comes to the fore in Pasuk 6. V'ish ha'elokim ba'elav lemor ha'melech al yavo imecha tzva Yisrael ki en Hashem im Yisrael kol B'nei Ephraim. Again, Pasuk 7. A man of God came to him and said, O king, let not the army of Israel come with you, for God is not with Israel, all the sons of Ephraim. In other words, God does not support the kingdom of Israel. He will not support you if you include people from the northern kingdom in your army, because they are sons of Ephraim. God is not with them. Pasuk chet, ki im bo ata aseh chazak la milchama, yachshilcha ha'elokim lifnei oyev, ki yesh koach ba'elokim la'azor ulahachshil. Rather, you come, be strong in war, lest God defeat you before the enemy, for there is power in God to be an ally or to cause defeat. Amatziah objects in Pasuk 9. Vayomer Amatziah l'isha Elokim, umma la'asot lim'at hakikar asher natati l'gdud Yisrael? What shall I do about the 100 talents of silver which I've already given to the band of Israel? Continuing Pasuk 9. Vayomer isha Elokim, yesh l'ashem latet l'cha harbe mizeh. God, the man of God replies, God can give you even more. Don't be so concerned about your money. Be concerned about your divine evaluation. Amatziah then does as he's told. He dismisses the band who came from Israel. He sends them back to Israel. They were very upset, but nevertheless they do as he ordered and they return. Pasuk 11, Vamatziahu hitchazak, vayinhaget amo vayelech gehamelach. Vayachet b'nei Seir aseret alafim. Amatziah became strong. He led his people and went to the Valley of Salt, probably where the Dead Sea is today, and defeated the sons of Seir, from the tribe of Edom, the Edomites, descendants of Esav, 10,000 of them. He defeated 10,000 of the sons of Seir. The next pasuk is much more difficult from a moral standpoint. It's hard to understand. Pasuk 12. Va'aseret alafim chayim shavu bnei Yehuda, va'iviyum l'rosh ha'sala, va'yashlichum l'rosh ha'sela, v'chulam nivkau. 10,000 men alive the sons of Judah took as captives. They brought them to the head of the rock. They threw them from the head of the rock. They were all smashed. This is a very, very difficult statement. The idea that in part of this war, 10,000 men were taken captive and were killed alive, and were killed after having been taken captive. Nevertheless, the overall evaluation here is positive, and it seems to be the result of Amatziahu's following the orders of the prophet who ordered him to dismiss the band who came from the kingdom of Israel. This was not without cost. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, we're told the cost which Amatziah paid. Uvnei Hagdud asher heshiv Amatziahu milechat imo la'milchama vayifshutu ba'arei Yehuda mishomron ve'ad Beit Horon vayakumihem 3,000 vayavozu bizaraba. The men of the band which Amatziahu had sent away from going with him to war, they spread out in the cities of Judah and from Shomron till Beit Horon, in other words, in the northern part of what's now the kingdom of Judah. They defeated 3,000 of the Judahites, and they took much spoils. So in other words, the Judahites, kingdom of Judah, suffered from these mercenaries whom Amatziahu had dismissed. This begins the process of the negative evaluation of Amatziahu. That verse which tells about the consequences of what happened to these people who were dismissed, which ostensibly should be a very positive thing, after all followed the advice of the prophet, begins the negative part of Amatziahu's evaluation. Here we find in the next three psukim, we find the sin of Amatziahu. Pasuk Yudalet, Vayhi acharevo Amatziahu me'akotet adomim, Vayavet Elohei b'nei Seir, Vayam idem lo l'Elohim, After Amatziahu came back from defeating the Edomites, he brought the gods of the people of Seir and established them for himself as a god. Before them he bowed, and to them he offered incense. Vayichar af pasuk tedvav 15. Vayichar af Hashem b'Amatziahu vayishlach elav navi vayomer lo. Lama darashta et Elohei ha'am, asher lo hitzilu et amam miyadecha. God became angry at Amatziah when he sent him a prophet who said to him, "Why have you sought out the gods of a nation who have not saved their own nation from your hand?" In other words, Amatziah's worship of the gods of Edom is bizarre in light of his own experiences as someone who was defeated at Edom. Why would he then worship the gods of Edom? So this may be the beginning of a sort of moralizing comment on his taking captives, as we saw in the case of Shaul and Agag. There's a certain danger in taking captives, and that danger is that as part of that, one takes the possessions of the captives, one that tends to lead to vanity and arrogance. And certainly here, Amatziahu's vanity is connected to the objects which he captured from the Edomites. And so that very difficult Pasuk 12, the Pasuk that speaks about the spoil of the human captives from Edom, may perhaps lead to the negative actions of Amatziahu, may perhaps contain within it the seeds of negativity. Amatziahu not only took human captives, but he also took objects as captives, objects as spoils, he took the gods of Edom, and he was led to worship idols. And his arrogance comes forth in Pasuk 16. The prophet tells him, "Why are you seeking out these gods of these people?" And arrogance is very much portrayed in this following Pasuk, Pasuk 16, Tetzayin. "Vahi bedabro elav vayomer lo, hal yo'etz ha-melech netanucha, chadal lecha lama yakucha." Amatziahu responds to the prophet as the prophet speaks to him, and Amatziahu says to him, "Have you been appointed an advisor to the king? Stop, why should you be killed?" In other words, Amatziahu was sort of on a killing spree here, the consequences of Pasuk 12 perhaps. "Why are you appointed? You're not appointed as a prophet to the king, as an advisor to the king. Stop giving advice." An arrogant attitude. Pasuk, the end of Pasuk Tetzayin. "Vayechdal hanavi vayomer, yadati ki ya'atz elokim lahashchitecha, ki asita zot velo shamata la'atzati." The prophet stops and the prophet says, "I know God has decided to destroy you, for you have done this and not listened to my advice." And the destruction of Amatziahu is related in the subsequent psukim. Perhaps appropriately for someone who began his career by rejecting Israel, the northern kingdom, in accordance with the word of God, Amatziahu here acts in an arrogant way. He sends in Pasuk 17 a message to Yoash, the king of Israel, and he says to Yoash, the king of Israel, "Lecha nitra'e fanim." Let us go and meet face to face. In other words, let us go and have a contest to see who is chief. Are you chief or am I chief? Is the kingdom of Israel more powerful or is the kingdom of Judah more powerful? There's a very beautiful response in Psukim 18 and 19 of Yoash, the king of Israel. It's called the Mashal of Yoash. This is the second Mashal of Yoash. There's an earlier Mashal. This is the Mashal of Yoash in Psukim 18, 19. "Vayishlach Yoash melech Yisrael el Amatziahu melech Yehuda lemor. Hachoach asher balvanon shalach el ha'erez asher balvanon lemor. Tena et bitcha livni leisha. Vata'avor chayat hasadeh asher balvanon vatirmos et hachoach. Amarta, hine hikita et Edom unsa'acha libcha lehachbid. Ata shva beveitecha lama titgare bara. Yoash, the king of Israel, sent to Amatziah, the king of Judah, in response, saying, "The thorn which was in Lebanon sent to the cedar which was in Lebanon, saying, 'Give your daughter to my son as a wife.' The wild animals of the field came, who were in Lebanon, came and trampled the thorn." The thorn here is a parable for Amatziah. Amatziah, the lowly king, the less powerful king, says Yoash. He sent to the more powerful king, that's Yoash, king of Israel, who is here symbolized by a cedar. So the thorn sent to the cedar, saying, "Let your daughter marry my son." In other words, let's form an alliance. The thorn is equating himself to the thistle in status. Amatziah is equating himself to Yoash and thinking he can battle Yoash, and the thorn in this parable was trampled. And in Pasuk 19, the explanation of the parable: "You said, you thought, you've defeated Edom, and therefore your heart causes to raise itself and to have an inflated sense of your own weight, lachbid, of weightiness. Bottom line, pasuk 19, ata always indicates the bottom line, ata with an ayin, now, sit in your own house, and why should you incite evil, lest you fall along with Judah? In other words, don't try to compete with me, you're not in my league. Pasuk 20, Velo shama amatziyahu ki me ha'elokim hi leman titam biyad ki darishu et Elohei Edom. Amatziyahu did not listen, for this was from God in order to give them, in other words, the people of Judah, into the hand, in other words, into the hand of Israel, because they had sought out the God of Edom. Pasuk 21. Vayaal Yoash Melech Yisrael vayitra'u fanim hu v'amatziyahu Melech Yehuda b'veit Shemesh asher liYehuda. Yoash, king of Israel, went up. He and Amatziyahu saw face to face. In other words, they met each other in the battleground. Where? At Beit Shemesh, which belongs to Yehuda. Pasuk 22. Vayinagef Yehuda lifnei Yisrael. Vayanusu ish le'ohalav. Yehuda was defeated before Israel, and the men ran to their own tents. And the rest of the spoil, the rest of the battle, is narrated in Psukim 23 and 24. Yoash captured Amatziyahu. Yoash saw the walls of Jerusalem breached, Yoash breached the walls of Yerushalayim for Amatziyahu. So the king of Judah is here both captured and has the walls of his defensive city breached. And furthermore, spoils were taken by Israel. In other words, this conclusion evokes many of the themes which are illustrated throughout this chapter. Arrogance. Amatziyahu suffers for his arrogance. Second of all, the idea of spoils. Amatziyahu was clearly very... Spoils are important to Amatziyahu, and here he loses spoils to Israel. And overall, this is all seems to be the result of the taking of the gods of Edom and treating them with respect as part of his arrogance in defeating Edom. Pasuk 25, Amatziyahu, the son of Yoash, lived 15 years after the death of his counterpart in Israel, and he then dies. In Pasuk 27, the death of Amatziyahu is narrated. Ume'et asher sar Amatziyahu me'acharei Hashem, v'ikshuru alav kesher b'Yerushalayim, v'yanos lachisha, v'yishlichu acharav lachisha, v'yimituhu sham. From the time that Amatziyahu departed from God, conspiracy was formed against him in Jerusalem. He fled to Lachish. They sent after him to Lachish, and they defeated him there. Amatziyahu died at Lachish as a result of his departure from God. Nevertheless, because of his overall positive evaluation, especially in Malachim, a yeshuv near Lachish is named Amatziyah today.